Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Great to have so many calls and texts come through for Midday Madness. One not happy with Barry being squeezed up to the news. G'day, Dwayne. Barry had a fair point. Why is it Marvel teams struggle? You just can't say that they need to be better. You shut down Barry's valid point. They have a disadvantage. Well, Essendon came out of Marvel in 2000. That's from Troy. So there's been a couple of teams win flags out of Marvel. Essendon in 2000 and the Dogs. And my point is, you can blame the ground for injuries if you want, but you don't train there. So in regards to your own training venue is where you do most of your work. I didn't shut him down. He made his point, and hopefully he had plenty of time too, but that's the beauty of Midday Madness. You call, you get on, you get a little bit more time early as opposed to 2 minutes to 2 o'clock. A couple of other texts that have come through just on that. Still think North are going to win 6 to 7 games, Dwayne? Question mark. They stink. Lucky to win 2 or 3. Yeah, I might have got that wrong, but there's still a lot of season to come. And Butters was clearly going for the ball. He got his hands to it before, or at least simultaneously, as Banfield. Butters also went in the way you were taught as a young player to protect yourself from getting hurt in a contest. And that's another one I've thrown out there as well on the text. I mean, that is the big dilemma right now. When you're teaching, if you're coaching, if he's coaching kids, it's the debate. Should you turn your backside and go inside on or not? Or do you go in top of your head first? What do you want your daughter or son to do when they play this week? And I'm not sure the AFL quite knows what they would coach as well if they were putting out a book on the way to play the game. Sammy Evans has been good enough to join me to talk news before we get back to a few of your calls and your texts for Lost in the Wash. Welcome to you, Sammy. Great to have you on.
Dwayne, great to be with you. And I've been itching to get alongside you on this magnificent program as well, because I just want to know, have you found a publisher yet? 36 Red, I like the plot, I like the story, yep. But we need a vehicle, we need a driver.
No, if you can find me a publisher, if there's a publisher out there or a publishing agent out there that wants to read my fiction novel. It's about Great Gatsby length. So if you're prepared to read it, send me a text, 0433 98 11 16. I have had a chat to a couple of publishers, Sammy, and one publisher has had a read of it, and she's given me some great stuff, some really, really good stuff. So I appreciate, to cut a long story short, Jeff Slattery also published a couple of my books, children's books, Jackson's Goal and Jackson's Footy, which I did years ago. He's not in the market for adult fiction. So there's publishers out there that aren't in the adult fiction genre. That's not what they do. A lot of them do biographies, etc. But if you are a publisher out there and you want to read mine, by all means, send me through a text right now, or an agent who wants to read it, give me some feedback, because I want to get it out there, Sammy. So thanks for the plug. 0433 98 11 16 is the text number.
Art fraud. That's the plot, isn't it? It's about an art fraud.
Yeah, it's art fraud. It's got a few little tentacles, but I can't give away.
Don't give too much away.
Tentacles. But yeah, I'm married into a family of artists, so I've got a little bit of art in my family background, which has enabled me to sort of dive into that one. There's a little bit of sport in there.
Like it.
There's a little bit of figure skating. Now I'm married a figure skater. Did you know that?
I didn't know you'd weaved figure skating in as well. Art fraud, figure skating.
I used to go to the figure skating quite a bit to watch my wife, who was a young figure skater back then, do a little bit of figure skating.
I never spent much time at the casino, but 36 Red's obviously a roulette term, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a fate situation in the book. There's a few fate situations in there, but 36 Red and roulette does play a rather large factor in it. So thanks for the plug, Sammy. I better give you a copy to read.
Yeah, well, indeed, happy to do it, Dwayne. Happy to
are
read
you a
it
book
for
reader?
You. You need a test audience for things, don't you?
Oh yeah, are you a book reader?
Well,
some people aren't book readers.
No, I'm more of a biography sort of an operator, Dwayne, if I'm being honest. But I'm happy to branch out into a bit of adult fiction. This sounds intriguing.
All right. Well, I'll get you a copy when it gets printed. You can have one of the first ones when I finally find a publisher, or you can just wait for the Netflix movie if you like.
Yeah, let's wait for that.
Am I hoping to? Maybe I got my hopes up too far there.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll come. Maybe it'll come. Hey, listen, the Charlie Cameron Tribunal case, that's going to come as well. Now, it was always looking this way, and the Brisbane Lions this morning confirmed that they would, after much deliberation over the weekend, take Charlie Cameron's one-match ban to the Tribunal. Of course, it is a one-match sanction for a dangerous tackle on Jake Lever, rewinding all the way back to last week, a week after Toby Green was let off for, a pretty similar tackle on Mac Andrew up in Canberra. I know you've heard a lot from Michael Christian with Jared Waitley. It was compelling audio this morning as well. He was asked specifically about the difference between the Cameron tackle and the Toby Green tackle, and I think A-Rod's got it. We'll just hear from Michael Christian now.
Well, no, there was no charge to Toby. One of the learnings last year, Jared, and look, there was a lot of tackling suspensions last year, and I think one of the points to mention around tackling is that it's and look, as a commentator, I'm sure you've noticed it, but the player behaviour around tackling has improved incredibly over the last even 12 months with players exercising a duty of care. But one of the things that came forward and one of the learnings out of the tribunal hearings of many tackling cases that came before it last year was that if a player in the motion of tackling lets go of the person they're tackling, it's akin to exercising a duty of care. So two of the key components of tackling that we look at are around vulnerability and around force. So if a player is vulnerable, and that is defined as pinning one arm or both arms, then a player can be deemed to be vulnerable in a vulnerable position, and then it comes down to whether excessive force was used in the tackle. So one of the learnings from the tribunal last year was that from a vulnerability standpoint, if a player that is tackling lets go of the arms of the person being tackled, and that allows that person being tackled to have their arms free to protect themselves when they're going to ground, that is akin to exercising a duty of care.
So that was Michael Christian earlier, and a lengthy grab, so thanks for the listeners' patience there. But if you watch the Lever and Charlie Cameron, we're really getting into the weeds of this admittedly, Dwayne, but Lever's got an arm free throughout. Now, yes, it is more of a tipping motion and maybe a fraction more. The velocity might be a fraction higher in the Charlie Cameron tackle as well. But, gee, we are splitting it hairs, aren't we, to have a player not even mentioned in the charge sheet in the form of Toby Green and then this one to go up for a week suspension. So the Brisbane Lions have seen enough where they think they've got a little avenue here.
Yeah, you've opened up a nice little can of worms here, Sammy, because my understanding, and Jared addressed this on Friday night when we discussed it before the Friday night game, if it isn't assessed by the MRO on the record, then it can't be used as a precedent in the tribunal. I would always say that if it's happened on a footy field during that year, it should be able to be used as a precedent, but it's not. Only if it's been assessed. So Michael Christian didn't assess it on the public record, the Toby Green one, so it can't be used by the Cameron case. But now that he's assessed it on radio, can that be used?
No, I don't think so, Dwayne. It is an interesting little bit of fine print here, isn't it? Now, he did say this morning, Michael Christian, there's not a change in policy here. They can't explain every instance. So he explained it like that. But we knew that the quote-unquote evolving community standards that the AFL referenced when changing their tribunal guidelines, stopping clubs from making comparisons to years gone by, we understood that. I think we all thought they could draw on incidents from the current year in season, but not the case. If they haven't been suspended or cited or explained in the run sheet, that was not the situation with Toby Green. So if you're being a real conspiracy theorist here, you would say they've left that out deliberately to not draw comparisons coming back, or they just deemed it not worthy of an explanation. But it's one that, regardless, the Brisbane Lions can't reference come the tribunal.
No, there's a lot of conspiracy theories happening, but they're everywhere at the moment. It's a fun watch. Sammy Edmund joining us, our chief footy reporter for a McCafe Coffee catch-up. Buy any McCafe Coffee on the My Maccas app for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Injuries are on the agenda, as they always are this time of year.
Now, just before I get into what's happened out of the weekend with that, Dwayne, a text coming through here. So, Nathan Murphy, who's plotting a path back to the game, at least we hope he is, and he spoke only a few days earlier around changing technique and considering the way he would want to go about it when he is able to return to the field again. Of course, hasn't played for a long period of time. My understanding is not all of the advice Nathan Murphy's been getting, and I'll put this in the basket of expert advice, medical advice, has been positive. So there is there is much to play out here, I think, with Nathan Murphy. Now, hopefully, he gets to a stage where he's got peace of mind regardless, and I think all Collingwood supporters would hope that peace of mind comes in the form of him playing the game again. But I still think there's a bit of water to play out under the bridge here, Dwayne. I'm not saying he's never going to play again. I'm not saying he's definitely coming back to play, but just some of the advice he's been getting is not all positive at the moment. I'll just reference that because I've had a few texts coming throughout the course of the day with Nathan Murphy. But in regards to the injuries, Carlton copped it, lost to Adelaide. So McGovern, Sard and Chera all hamstrings. So three hammies in the space of 48 hours. None of those players are going to play against GWS, Dwayne, but all appear to be standard hamstring strains and around that 2 to 3 to 4 week marker. Max King cleared of structural damage at St Kilda. So the Blues injury list now nudging 15. St Kilda's is just as long as that. Richmond has just as many. Essendon has copped it as well. Hawthorn have had their trouble. So all sorts of clubs are going to take their turn, you know, with the rough end of the injury stick here. Sam Taylor, concussion protocols, no symptoms, no structural damage. So he's confident of returning as soon as possible. They dodged a real bullet there, did the Giants, as they did arguably with Stephen Cornelio, who only has a small medial collateral ligament tear, not the ACL, and no significant syndesmosis damage. So he'll miss at least the next couple of matches, the former Giants captain. But really, that looked like a horrific game up in Canberra, didn't it, Dwayne? And thankfully, a lot of bullets dodged up there.
So the AFL's changed their normal process when it comes to the elevation of a legend. We all congratulate Jason Dunstall on being elevated, but they don't normally do it this way.
No, I guess they didn't want to keep it secret, was the words that Richard Gawdy used, the commission chairman. They wanted to celebrate it now and bring it out into the open. So he'll be the 32nd legend in the Australian Football Hall of Fame. Well, a lot of younger listeners perhaps listening, Dwayne, not fully appreciative of understanding of the career that the Chief had, but 1998 he retired as the third most prolific goal kicker in VFL AFL history. 1,254 majors, of course, only behind Plugger Lockett, Tony Lockett and Gordon Coventry. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2002. Now, Coventry and Lockett are already legends in that Hall of Fame. He kicked, as these numbers, 100 goals in a season six times. He kicked 145 in 92. That was the year he slammed on 17 against Richmond at a Waverley Park, if you don't mind. He kicked double-figure bags, Dwayne, 16 times. Get your head around that. Four flags, triple Coleman medalist, four All-Australians, obviously in Hawthorn's team of the century. Enormous figure in the game. And coming back to younger listeners, now perhaps more commonly known to them as a member of the media and a TV host as well.
Yeah, and a nice press conference today where he talked about his rivalry with Tony Lockett, who was kicking them left, right and centre in that era as well. What an era it was. I think Ablett kicked 100 one year and finished third in the goal kicking. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it? I think what year was that? That might have been 92, actually, now that I think of it, when the three big dogs are just running amok. And, he had those crazy days.
Imagine 300 goal kickers in a season. How good that would be right now.
Yeah, we had crazy days, didn't you? When you had the big fish, Paul Salmon, kicking a bag up one end and then Gary Ablett doing it at the other end. It was like shelling peas. And these guys didn't miss either, Dwayne. That was the thing that sticks out in my mind. If the Chief got a look at it from 45, you generally put your glasses down. It was going to be a goal, or it was going to hit the post. There was no shanks. There was no snapping around the corner. None of that. It was just going as straight as an arrow.
Speaking of Ablett and the Cats, are you buying what the Cats are selling at the moment, the undefeated Cats?
You've got to strike when the iron's hot. My grandmother always used to say that, Dwayne. And membership departments across the league are all about that mantra too. So the Cats are undefeated, 5-0, playing some exciting stuff. So this is where you got to strike as a membership department. Geelong members waking up this morning, they got the email, Dwayne. Available to them, the membership, premiership membership add-on. So good salesmanship, this secure your premiership membership. This is priority access to the grand final if Geelong make it for a discounted rate of $210. Now, timing is everything. Let's just dangle that out in the inbox tray of Geelong members across the country when our side is on fire and one of only two undefeated sides in the comp at 5-0 to get your premiership add-on.
So for $200, you're guaranteed a grand final ticket if the Cats make it.
I won't pretend to know the intricate details of this, but it's deemed priority one access. Right. So it doesn't guarantee, but it guarantees that you get the best shot at the ticket, I believe. This might be the best way to do it. Because Collingwood got themselves a little bit of strife last year, Dwayne, you'll remember, around grand final tickets in the leading.
And are you doing Sports Day tonight or are you home to bed because you've been up all night?
No, neither. I will be on, actually, with Kane and Jared and Hodgie a little bit later on. So, yep, we're going to do Sports Day again.
Thought you were one of those who would have been an early riser for the golf. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. Although, I won't say it's disrespectful to say it was a bit of an anticlimax, but Scottie Scheffler came in as the raging favourite, and this was a commanding performance at Augusta. He was the red hot pre-tournament favourite. He did lead overnight, and then he hit a 4-under 68 in the final round as we woke up today. So he finished 4 clear on 11-under. We didn't get that real white knuckle finish, did we? But his second time in 3 years, John Rahm hands over the green jacket as well. The real drama for him was he might have missed the final round. His wife Meredith was due to give birth to their first child as well. And he said on Saturday he was actually prepared to leave Augusta mid-round. Can you imagine that? You're 4 shots clear and you leave the fairway. But that was a chance of happening, he said, if she went into labour on Sunday. She didn't. So he's on his way home now. But they're calling this, Dwayne, funnily enough, talking about birth, the birth of a superstar. Now, he was world number one in 22, but they're pointing to the inevitability of this one and the performance and the feel that he was always going to be a runaway winner, and that he was. So 27 years of age, he's a baby in professional world golf standards.
Great stuff, Sammy. We're here tonight on... Oh, you do a little stint with Gazy as well, don't you? I forgot you and Andy and Gazy get together later on as well, don't you?
Monday matters from 4 o'clock, Dwayne. Monday what matters, what doesn't matter, what could matter, what should matter, what might matter. We'll do all that at 4 o'clock.
All right, so you'll get an extra couple of doses of Sammy tonight. Great to have you, Sammy. Thanks for jumping on, Sam Edmund. Our chief football reporter for McCafe Coffee Catch-Up by any McCafe Coffee on the My Maccas app for a chance to win free coffee for a year. A couple of texts coming through. Dwayne, my top five things I despise about the AFL. The stand rule. Thanks for that, Alan. There's a few coming through whacking the AFL for their goal review system, which at the moment doesn't look like it's going to change. I was hoping Sammy might bring us some news on some changes there. Dwayne-O, hopefully there's a chapter in your book about your love of milk. Thanks for that. Quite a few coming through on my novel. Dwayne, you can't always judge a book by its cover. The last thing I was thinking when you made your debut at Port was that genius with the mullet will one day write a novel. Thanks for your text and thanks for your support. Hopefully it'll get published and we'll be able to get some in the bookshops and maybe give them away on the show like we do Dwayne's World T-shirts. By the way, Dwayne's World T-shirt up for grabs for Lost in the Wash next. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-1116. If you send through a text, 0433-98-1116 on the 40 Winks Temper text. Your calls and text next.